For Adrian Zaleski, cannabis is his spiritual guide. It has helped him overcome overindulgence in alcohol, excelled as the front man of a successful band, and start a successful career in the emerging hemp industry, not to mention an incredible promoter of cannabis events. This is The Real Dirt with Chip Baker, and today I get to talk to my longtime friend and industry pioneer, Adrian Zaleski. Adrian is probably most commonly known as being the front man for Athens, Georgia band Dub Conscious. But in addition to being a talented musician and cannabis connoisseur, Adrian is the director of operations for the brand new International Hemp Exchange, aka iHempX. iHempX is based in Boulder, Colorado, and is kind of a big deal for many reasons. It's one of the first online portals that connects buyers and sellers of all things hemp. Think Etsy or eBay, but with hemp. iHempX has both retail and wholesale component and is growing quickly in popularity with the media. But many people don't fully understand the difference between hemp and cannabis that gets you high. Find out about the hemp industry. Find out if it's as lucrative as you think it is and what the future of hemp has in store in this episode of The Real Dirt with Chip Baker. All right, it's The Real Dirt with Chip Baker. And today I have Adrian Zaleski. How's it going, Adrian?
Great to be here, Chip.
Awesome, man. Yeah, man. We've been trying to meet up forever, it seems.
Yeah. Same circle, just different points of the circumference.
Same circle. Yeah, we both have many, many mutual friends, and over the years have bounced in and out of each other's lives a little bit. And I'm always like, oh, hemp, weed.
Yeah, that guy.
Hemp, weed, weed, hemp.
Right? Music. Yeah.
Music.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, hemp, weed, music. Right. Yeah, and so Adrian, he works with the International Hemp
Exchange.
Yep. International Hemp Exchange, a.k.a. IX.
iHempX.
iHempX.
Yeah.
iHempX.
Kind of like iHeartRadio or something.
Yeah, right. Tell what's the International Hemp Exchange about?
Well, the Hemp Exchange is an online portal that connects buyers and sellers of all things hemp, and that's a very basic terminology that gets the point across. But much like eBay and Etsy, we have a portal online that we're developing. It already exists. We have about 42 companies on there and over 100 products, but it's basically just a place where you can post your, you know, CBD oil, your hemp paper or your hemp flax or whatever you want if you're a hemp producer. And then if you're a hemp consumer, you can go there and say, okay, I've heard this new thing about, you know, hemp oils or salves that are really good with massage, or, you know, I need some hemp seeds for my, you know, food or stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of a way for people just to see that hemp is a normal, stable, and confident consumer product now, rather than just some sort of like weird cousin of marijuana.
So is this business to consumer as well as business to business?
Yeah. We have a retail side and a wholesale side.
Oh, awesome.
So on the retail side, we have, you know, all these products just listed just like eBay or Etsy. And then on the wholesale side, we'll have a broker type relationship or, you know, a producer relationship that they'll set up. And then, you know, you basically contact that person through us, and we are the medium that controls the, you know, transaction and the confidence between consumer and buyer. So essentially, if someone's a buyer and they're false, you know, like scammers like Craigslist or whatever like that, we will be that filter that stops that, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I think it's important to stop and let's talk about what hemp is.
Because,
you know, even though I love Dr. Dre, you know, he kind of ruined it for us, you know, 20 years ago. He's like, oh, it smells like good hemp.
Yeah.
You know, but hemp, it is marijuana, it's not marijuana.
Right.
It is cannabis, you know, but it doesn't get you high. It is CBD, but there's no THC in it. Can you, like, explain the muddle of differences there?
Right, yeah. Well, the learning process is still going on for me, so I'm by no means a scientist on this, but I definitely have learned quickly that hemp was kind of thrown in with marijuana during the prohibition push by Anslinger and the pharmaceutical industries in the late
30s. Some people would say the reason that it was done.
Exactly. Right. I mean, probably, and you know, then when the drug war happened, for them to throw industrial hemp, you know, 1970, to act like that is part of this, you know, really bad drug that's, you know, demonizing the youth and stuff like that. It was obviously
same propaganda for 70 years.
And throwing it all in is kind of, you know, it's like, you know, it's throwing the baby with the bathwater, all that stuff, you know, and it's basically saying all this stuff has relationships. It's cannabis sativa, you know, it's cannabis, the plant in general. There's all kinds of worldly implications too. There's a Japanese water hemp that grows in very moist climates. There is, you know, some Thailand and Chinese strains that grow 20 feet tall and don't have any THC or CBD in it. It's just straight, you know,
straight stalk
and herd and, you know, fiber, you know, so, you know, the use of the word cannabis and marijuana along with hemp has really changed the way we perceive this plant that is very beneficial. And everyone knew it before the drug war. I mean, around the world, you just look and it's been thousands and thousands of years of recorded history of, you know, of civilizations, of ancient people, indigenous people. And they were all using it for medicinal reasons, for building materials, for, you know, ink, stuff like that. You know, it's just stuff that was just absolutely purposeful. And then it to get thrown in with smokable marijuana as a ploy, really, to stop its inevitable, I think, rise to really combat pharmaceuticals and some of the, you know, the things we're seeing nowadays, opioids, all stuff like that. I think hemp and CBD are going to have a big play in that. And that's really amazing. And then even paper and you know, oil and everything that's about to come to light with hemp is going to really change the game, you know, and it's beautiful.
So you made it even more complex, I think.
Huh? I did. My bad.
Hemp is complex. That's the crazy thing about it.
It is.
Because you can make anything plastic from hemp.
Yeah.
You know, it's this incredible soil conditioner, right? Like it's incredible animal feed,
right.
Silage type products, like
right.
It's incredible, you know, protein and omega acid source for humans.
Yeah.
Right. And then it does have medicine in it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
Let's talk about the CBD and THC and CBD together. Right.
Sounds good. Yep.
Like, so I go to the dispensary here in Denver and buy some Bubba Kush.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You look on the label and it says, you know, 15% THC and 7% CBD.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And that's just Bubba Kush,
yeah.
Right? That's not special.
Yeah.
Right. But what hemp CBD, this is special though.
Yep.
Right. Cause there's no THC.
Or very little.
Very little. What is the regulation?
The regulation in America, according to the Industrial Farming Bill of 2014, is any hemp that is going to be produced and used in America has to be under 0.3% THC. Some of that's changing. I just heard that North Carolina is going to accept up to 1% THC, which is going to make it much easier. A lot of farms in Colorado and Kentucky came, you know, between 0.3 and 0.7, and that's what's really crazy. They had to basically kill their crop if they went over 0.3 because you can't have anything with THC in it unless it's medicinal or going to, you know, to a dispensary, you know, as cannabis. So, you know, it's a tricky one.
Because the government tests your crop, right?
Yeah. So Bubba Kush with 15% and 7%, you know, that ratio is really going to help the consumer understand that there's CBD, which is more of a relaxant, a neuroprotectant, you know, than a psychoactive ingredient. So that's kind of what that is all known as. Like CBD calms you down. It gives you, you know, more clarity rather than cloudiness. And that's the kind of differences that people are starting to learn. And once again, CBD is just now being studied too. I mean, we're, you know, it's all anecdotal right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
None of it's actual data, you know.
Well, man, I know when I have a migraine and I hit the CBD vape pen, right? Like it dampens it. And I can smoke weed, you know, and smoke 6-hour diesel joints and it does the same thing. But then I'm just so like over-medicated, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, like this doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah,
but like, you know, a few hits off the CBD and there's a light psychoactive change.
Yep.
But when you're having a migraine, it's like psychedelic as can be anyway. So
exactly,
like,
yep.
You know, just added benefit or something.
Right. And I mean, CBD is being isolated because it's legal. Most people nowadays really think that the true medicine is going to be from the combination of all types of cannabinoids, which is, you know, full spectrum is the language that everyone uses. And, you know, if it's got some THCA and it's got some CBG and some CBN and CBD, that might be the magic formula to cure cancer, you know. And Rick Simpson's oil, you know, he argues that all the time, that THC is needed to activate the CBD to really combat, you know, tumor growth and, you know, malignant cells. I mean, that's a, you know, hopefully we can start figuring that stuff out. That's going to be a really exciting, you know, world to open up, because that's where the truth is. When you say CBD is good and THC is, you know, psychoactive and dangerous, that's not really giving the plant the full understanding.
No, not at all. And my anecdotal evidence is that you need to mix it.
Exactly.
It needs to be mixed. If
I
it's
agree.
Just THC, straight THC, or just straight CBD,
yeah,
you don't really feel it. But
agreed.
Like, I mean, you know, that THC distillate, like when they mix it with a little bit of CBD, it, like, it sets you off.
Exactly.
It's strong.
Exactly.
Right? But when it's just like pure 96%,
yeah,
you know, it's like, it's like, you know, like you get up, but I think your body gets this poisoning effect.
Yeah.
And it, you know,
yeah, exactly.
And it sobers your ass up quick or something. Right. You know, yeah. You know, right, right. It's
absolutely.
Like crazy phenomenon I've seen. That's for sure.
Right.
Back to Hemp IX.
I Hemp X. Yeah.
I Hemp X.
Yeah.
You sell to top CBD companies. You don't really sell. You're an in-between person. You're like Craigslist.
We're a neutral connector. And, and, you know, we don't have a bias. We don't have our own brand. We don't have something
it's private.
That,
you privately log on.
Right.
Right.
And right.
People hook up with each other, and you're just have validated that these people are okay.
Maybe. Yeah, the intermediary. We approve the process. So if someone submits a hemp oil, you know, and... You know, if it was like completely unprofessional and obviously something that was a scam or something that was going to be illegal federally, we would not allow that. We have a 24-hour turnaround. If someone submits, our admin, our web admin will say, okay, this is a legitimate company. And then same with purchasers, same with brokers, all that stuff like that. We kind of look for people who are, you know, going to be leading the stability of the industry. That's really the word we talk about, stability. Right now,
wow, it's like fire, man. It's just growing so fast.
And it's volatile. You know, you'll talk to someone one day that will say, hey, I want $30,000 from a kilo of isolate. And next day, someone's saying $7,500 or $10,000. And it's like, who's going to know the difference if there's not some sort of mechanism to prove that there is, you know, other means to look at, you know?
Right.
And because you can get shortchanged by a con artist, or you can get overcharged by a con artist, or someone who's really, you know, opportunistic and finds someone in a new state and they're like, oh, I want to get in the CBD. And then someone's like, oh, cool. It's $30,000 a kilo, you know, and they'll buy it just thinking, you know, they'll do the numbers for themselves and they'll think that it works.
Yeah. Last year I saw this happen.
Yeah.
Right. It, you know, like $70,000, $80,000 a kilo to $30,000 a kilo.
And now it's
somebody saying 10.
Yeah. Now it's a 10.
Right.
Yeah,
right. And this is, and explain what this is, what we're talking about. Distillate.
Okay. Yeah. So distillate and isolate are kind of the rawest forms of CBD that people are breaking down from their processing into something that can be used to make tinctures, salves, you know, massage oils, you know, edibles, whatever they want to put into it. And then there's a lot of new extraction techniques coming in too, which are really exciting. One of the ones I really like is lipid extraction. It's a totally organic process. There's no alcohol. There's no solvents.
No
added chemicals
just
or anything.
Bad.
Yeah, it just goes straight into coconut oil or MCT oil, and it has zero... And toxins, really, you know,
and they keep that all cold, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cold pressed, and it's basically something a lot of people are using for capsules, or they'll put it into edibles, basically.
Yeah, I've seen those products, but I assume they were taking the isolate or the distillate and blending it into the oil. Is that what you're saying? No, you're saying they're extracting.
No, they're extracting
CBD
from water. It's almost like bubble hash.
It's almost like bubble hash.
It's just straight up lipid extraction, and there's zero harsh chemicals at all. I mean, it's amazing. You know, there's people that have patents on it, but, you know, I don't know if they'll really stick. But, you know, there's companies doing that and claiming that that's something they're going to, you know, they're going to have like an aspirin or an ibuprofen kind of stamp on the medicine in the long run.
Well, you know me, I love anything coconut.
Yeah,
right.
Me too. Yeah.
Right. Coconut, you know, coconut pith, coconut coir, coconut fiber rugs, coconut water, coconut milk.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
You know, it is a miracle plant. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to hemp. I tell people that all the time. It's like coconut and hemp, very similar, right? Both have this long, like, co-evolutionary history with humans.
Right.
Right? You know, both have an incredible seed and nut and incredible chemistry and hormones that are going on inside it and, you know, grow in
they're so similar,
conditions all over the world, right?
Yeah. And everything can be used. Yeah.
And all of it can be used. You know, when we get coconut pallets... We get cocoa fiber shipped to us from India and Sri Lanka.
Yep.
The actual pallet is from a coconut tree.
Of course. Yeah.
Right.
That's cool. That's super cool.
Worst pallets ever, Coco suppliers. You know this. You need to step it up.
Get some wood. Come on. Yeah, and you were talking about top CBD companies. That's something that is naturally gravitated. And being here in Colorado, just to give a basic over view of things, Colorado, I believe, has produced around 60% of all the CBD and hemp products in the United States since 2014 when the Farm Bill passed. So the cream of the crop in America are here.
Right.
Which is really nice.
How many acres or any statistics on what's being grown right now?
It's a lot of misinformation, you'll hear, I think original pilot testing was like 7,000 acres, I think, and it was like 300 farms.
Mm-hmm. But none of them planted all the acreage that they applied for.
Yeah, exactly. And then some of them didn't report it. And, it's all over the place. It's very unregulated. There's still not a regulatory commission that's really watching over hemp.
So it's lightly regulated. It's an interesting crop to get into.
Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about the differences between hemp and CBD hemp.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
Right. Because it's the same in a regulatory manner because they're both under
three. Under 0.3. Yep.
Right. But it's different crops.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Right. Very much so. Yeah. The cannabis that is grown for high CBD levels is mostly marijuana, really. And that's what you kind of have to, some people, my lawyer, Bob Hoban, he's a leading hemp attorney. I'll talk more about him in a little bit. He's an important character in all this. He says that's something we all need to really realize. When you're growing a small bushy plant that has, just extremely resinous flowers and just beautiful stinky buds everywhere, but it's all CBD, that's really a great process of great breeding of, the same process as like marijuana almost. Mm-hmm. And then industrial hemp on the other side, which is these strains that are mostly coming from Ukraine, Romania, Spain, China, these places have been doing hemp for 50 plus years. They have the seed bank that is like industrial hemp. And that's what we're going to start seeing a lot more of in America. Right now, though, the USDA and the DEA have not allowed for industrial hemp seeds to be certified from America. That's starting to change. And that's starting to change mostly in Colorado. Once again, CSU in Fort Collins and then Pueblo has a pilot program. And then I believe Adams State in Alamosa also has a pilot program to develop seeds. And that's going to, so, and then there's other groups that are trying to bring 400,000 tons of seed into the States.
Import. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And they're most,
that's how you have to do it right now. You have to import it.
And they won't allow that kind of shipment in yet.
No, right. You know, small amounts.
Exactly.
Small amounts.
Canada and
Mexico.
You have
to make it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to make it yourself.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of different types of growing techniques. The listeners at home that are listening to this, you'll YouTube hemp growing. You're going to see these fields of hemp that's grown like alfalfa or something. And you plant it, hunt by seed, broadcast planting, 100 seeds per meter or something, right? Really tight like that.
Right.
And they get this stuff out early in the year. You can grow in all climates and it grows up. And then when it gets so tall, they harvest it for fiber.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
In northern climates or throughout the world, even they like try to get two crops of this type of stuff if they're harvesting it for fiber.
Yep.
But then if it's a seed crop, then maybe they grow it a little bit differently, more like a traditional cannabis plant where you plant it, in the spring and you harvest it in the fall, right?
October,
you
might not. Yep.
Yeah, right, yep, right. Yep. And this is all done with industrial agricultural equipment.
Yeah.
Big tractors, big combines, modified pea head pickers to pick the seeds.
Yeah.
But CBD is different. CBD hemp is different because we're talking about cannabis strains that have 0.3% THC. Most of these things, people find clones.
Yep.
And they grow clones.
Yep.
Like you would traditionally would,
with marijuana.
With marijuana, ganja.
Yep.
Right. If you're growing weed indoors, you're growing weed from a clone.
Right.
Right. And same thing's going on with the CBD because people find the clone that has the high CBD, low THC, and they've guaranteed it for themselves.
Right.
Right. So then they go plant out 50,000 clones. Right. Yep. And they have a 50,000 clones of guaranteed CBD.
Yeah.
Right. They grow all this stuff differently, though. They plant it like traditional cannabis.
Yeah. Pretty much. Some are starting to shift. I went to a farm last week that was doing the tomato technique where, you know, they what's it called, Floorgate or whatever, where they sit there and drop, you know, it's a machine that drops a seed in the ground, I mean, a clone in the ground, digs it, drops it in the ground, yeah, drops the nutrients, drops the water, moves on, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's getting a little more industrial, even with the CBD-rich stuff.
Sure.
But it is a sensitive plant. You know, this is something that if you harvest too late, it'll get above the 0.3. You know, it's like, that's where a lot of the trickery is. It's like, and that's where people, you know, this is anecdotal. Once again, we're learning how this is all happening rather than having, you know, hundreds of years of research, which we should have.
Yeah,
and
no
that's
doubt.
So everything that's happening right now, it's very important that everyone understands that the documentation is so important. And when you buy a CBD, you know, tincture, don't just take it and say, man, I think I slept better. Write down, I slept 8 hours and I hadn't been sleeping more than 5 hours, you know, things like that. Those, and then, you know, with growing, obviously it's the same thing. It's like, if you are learning things that are going to really push this forward, it's a big deal. And there's really old growers in Colorado that I've gotten to know, which are awesome. Like Bill Billings, and, you know, Barbara Philippone, who's, she does envirotextiles. So she's been doing the industrial side for like 30 years.
Right.
So there's all these old school people that know it, and they have all
hippies,
the
hippies, all the old school hippies. I'm a hippie. I'm,
they're awesome.
Yeah, 100%. You know? I love hemp, man.
I do too.
It's one of the things that really fired me up about weed. Well, after I fired up weed a bunch.
Yes.
And then I found out about hemp through Jack Kerr's book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes.
Exactly.
And, you know, we met Jack Kerr.
Oh, nice. Wow.
He really encouraged us. He's really the guy who encouraged us to move to California years ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, totally
beautiful.
Smoked us out like we'd never been smoked out before. Right.
He is the godfather. That
oh,
is
dude,
awesome.
Totally. Yeah,
yeah,
here, wow. Here's to him. But he turned me on with his book for sure. And
yeah. When I first got into hemp, the first thing people said was like, here, there's these couple university studies and read The Emperor Wears No Clothes. And I was like, I've already read that. That's great.
Yeah, I know that one.
You know, so, yeah, but I reread it, which was really important. And he is the guy. He is the man. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
what totally. He died, what, 2003 or
yeah, he unfortunately died before cannabis was legal, really, like it is. You know, he was medical cannabis was legal,
right?
And you know,
in California,
in California, and you know that in 1996, that's when we met him, and he had just and we'd been into hemp for a number of years already, right?
Oh, cool.
And and we just met him. And he encouraged us, you know, to move to California. We had medical cannabis that was fixing to be legal again. And,
nice. Yep.
Right. And it became, they voted it in. It became legal.
Prop
and we were like,
yep,
we're moving to California.
Yeah. Scott did too, right?
Oh, yeah. We were on the same caravan.
I remember that. It was he was here.
MC, yeah. Swifty.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Who else? Numer,
Bynum. Right.
Big contingency.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, all of us kind of moved out right at the same time. Neil?
Right. It was the right thing, yep.
Yeah, all of us within like 6 months of each other, but...
smart move.
MC and Swifty, they moved out first. We slept on their floor, me and Jess.
Yep.
They were like a month ahead of us, I think.
Right.
You know?
Yep, that's beautiful.
Crazy,
Great story that Eva Perone, the doctor, I remember.
Him. Oh, yeah, right.
He was pushing it through. I was watching from Georgia, watching all you guys go out there and being like, hell yeah, that's awesome. Like, that's what needs to happen.
Oh man, yeah, it was then great times as it is now great times. Yeah. There's so much.
What an evolution.
Incredible stuff, man.
Yeah.
So like we you know, people talk about hemp and marijuana, and like the thing everybody wants to know is the money.
Right.
Right. And so many people want to get into hemp because of the money. They think they can make money in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got any, like, you have this online portal. Like, how much does it go for? Do you talk about it like that? Like, do people buy bulk hemp CBD to sell to other people, and people buy oil in a wholesale and on an individual level?
Yeah.
What are like, the ranges in this type of stuff?
Well, you know, it's, The common sense denominator that a lot of people land on is a penny a milligram.
A penny a milligram for isolate or distillate.
You know, that kind of thought process. Or, okay. You know what I mean? And you know, so that would be a $10,000, you know, kilo, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where that kind of leverage point is. But then when you talk about certain oils, or if it's crude, if it's not, you know, if it's the full
if it's
oil,
just hemp oil,
exactly, and you're going to be able to break it into all different kinds of things. You know, it's different if it's something you're going to put into some sort of, like, you know, paste or edible or anything like that. It goes cheaper, you know? So it's like, and that's what's really fascinating. You watch this and then we'll get contacted by a buyer, you know, from another state that will say, hey, I want to come in and buy, you know, 100 kilos every 2 weeks, right? And when they do that, they shift the dynamic of the conversation because there's people sitting there with, you know, 400 kilos that they were expecting to sell over the next 12 months. And they're all of a sudden like, wait, I could sell this in 3 days, you know, like, so those are, it's a really fascinating marketplace right now. And that's where, you know, it's frustrating and rewarding to be there in it because you're watching it. And, you know, just like, you know, anything that's not stable yet, there's a lot of hustling, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people, like a lot of people will be from the East Coast and they'll just look up the registry of everyone that grew CBD, right? And they'll just call every single one of them and get their prices. It's fascinating, you know? And then like they call you, they call us as the Hemp Exchange. And we know that they've called everyone, you know, and, mm-hmm. and they're sitting there acting like they haven't. And it's just like, right. Oh, okay, well,
they got their hustle.
Exactly.
They hustle.
And then they want to play their it's strategic. It's, you know, yeah. It makes sense. They want to feel what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then what we want to do is basically just be trustworthy. So, you know, my partners who found me, I'm vice president of business development. I basically bring buyers and seller ideas together. I go to the expos. I put on events that bring people together. I do all that stuff. But the people behind me are experts in this world. They're farmers or former farmers and their processors, and they'll basically be able to stabilize and talk to these people in a very real way. So they might say, oh yeah, I can get it for much cheaper than that. Usually they'll come calling 2 weeks later and be like, okay, like we dug around and we actually can. Yeah, exactly. Right. And, you know, and a lot of them will try
people
to
say the same thing about weed, right? Like, absolutely. It's $500 a pound here. I don't know anybody that's buying it for $500 a pound.
No.
Right. I know you're out there selling your $500 pounds, but sorry.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's your business plan. I don't know.
You and know. That's not stable. You know, right. Like if someone's growing weed, it's probably about $800 a pound cost.
Heck, I mean, at least. It's incredible, like, yeah. At what people pay for cost, for sure.
Exactly.
And people are just selling the actual CBD hemp on this thing, too.
Yeah. Right? Anything that's not
federal.
They
sell that by the ton or the pound, or how do they sell that?
It depends on what they have.
Right.
If
they got tons, they're selling it by the ton.
Not many people have tons.
I got a ton deal.
Yeah. If people had tons of flower, they would be making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. If somebody right now was to
people
invest,
people don't have tons of flower. I see all these Instagram and YouTube stuff.
Most people want to hold on to their flower or process it into oil, so that it has something that's much simpler and doesn't resemble weed. You know, mm-hmm. Like because if you ship, you know, a ton of flower to Kentucky, you know, there's a good chance in Kansas and Illinois, you're going to have some issues. You
right.
Know? So,
right.
But I mean, a lot of people with the flower world though are definitely looking at that and they're holding on to the flower. It's the gold again, mm-hmm. for sure. Like if people could grow, like if I'm going to encourage anybody right now, start CBD companies. Yes. But grow a lot of flower. Like if you had a lot of flower, you would be getting what you want out of it.
What's a lot of flower?
You know, I mean,
we're talking tons.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. I mean, you can get acres. I mean, so there's Canadian companies that have truckloads, you know, that they, every day, they're driving out truckloads of, you know, it's amazing. You know, when you hear about this, you're like, oh, that's.
Of course.
Same way we do with, you know, corn and hay and soy here, you know.
This recent DEA ruling.
Yep.
Right,
yep.
Man. And I just had a good buddy of mine, Ken, chat with me the other day, and he wants to get in the CBD industry. And I was like, I don't know, man. This seems fucked up. I think that, like, if you're in the state that regulates it, there's probably no big deal. But, like,
yeah.
Interstate exchange seems weird to me, but I don't know, man.
Right.
Can you shed some light on this for me?
I mean, it's something to be worried about. I mean, the DEA has created so many situations that are vague. And then, you know, Jeff Sessions or whoever decides to change their mind, it could all go in a whole different way. But, you know, DEA is an enforcement agency, and that's a...
Hey, Jeff's a good old boy. He wouldn't put the kibosh on any type of agricultural crop, would he?
Let's hope not. But, I mean, whatever it is, you know, the DEA is an enforcement agency, and, you know, unlike, you know, what people read about the Schedule One scare, you know, so to give you a quick synopsis, DEA threatened in November to put CBD on Schedule One on January 13 of this year. And essentially that has been stopped before in the year 2003. The Hemp Industries Association stopped that from happening because there was no evidence, once again, for anything but THC to be the dangerous chemical of cannabis. So the scheduling of CBD was not done properly through Congress and through science. So once again, if they were to do that, they would have to do it through Congress and through science.
But they did it, didn't they? So that was just propaganda.
No. There's an initiative to move CBD to a Schedule One. And then actually our attorney, that's the one I was talking about earlier, Bob Hoban, and then a lot of, you know, hemp companies sued the DEA right away saying we've invested, you know, tens of millions of dollars into infrastructure of this company based on what you said is legal and what was agreed upon as legal. And now all of a sudden you're changing it without congressional people make the laws. Right. You know what I mean? So essentially what is probable is that it will get stalled again, or it will actually get illegalized through a process of Congress. But in that time, we will also learn everything that's possible about CBD, and more states will continue to legalize.
Right.
It's so really hard to stop people with, like, children with epilepsy. Those are the things. That's where hemp is beyond reproach. That's one of my favorite things to say. It's not something you can sit there and judge like alcohol or smokable cannabis. It's something where you can say, actually, I'm going to rub this on my kid's foot and he's going to stop having seizures. I mean, that's not an arguable thing for anybody, really. Even Donald Trump, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any of those people, he said something about it, you know, back in February of last year. So I don't think anyone is going to deny that it has medicinal aspects.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Also, I read somewhere that Melania has a son that has autism, and that there might be some, you know, study, you know, I'm not saying that he knows that, but, you know, he has a child that has an issue, you know, so it's like he might be open to it. And that's why I think that's where CBD's really changed the game. And that's where hemp is coming in, is that people are seeing these stories and being like, I have to agree with this. I can't not like hemp. You know what I mean? I can't think that CBD is bad. You know,
hemp definitely has different stigmatism than cannabis does. Right. For sure.
Yep.
We're going to take a break for our commercial sponsors.
There you go.
All right.
Cool.
Break. I'd like to thank our partners here at The Real Dirt. Without your help, The Real Dirt would not be possible. I'd like to thank Grower Soil, a local Colorado full line of soil and nutrients, manufactured in Colorado, built with Colorado hearts and hands. I'd also like to thank our partner Cultivate Colorado, with two stores in the Denver metropolitan area. Cultivate has one of the largest selections of indoor horticultural supplies in the known universe. It's also the cool place to shop, with expert growers who can help you with all your growing needs. Grow your dreams, cultivate your legend. Cultivate Colorado. And we're back.
All right.
Oh man, this has been a good one, dude. We hadn't caught up in a long time. I really think the last time we chatted was 10 years ago, maybe.
Probably. I think so.
Right. Absolutely. But I've been seeing your Instagram account, and I've been seeing you go to these grows all over, these hemp grows. What's your Instagram account? Do you want to give it out there?
Adrian Zelsky Music, M-U-Z-I-Q, with the music, too. That's my parent company, which is an entertainment-based company. I kind of left that world to come into the cannabis world.
But you guys do events, too. That's something you guys are doing,
absolutely,
too. Let's talk about
yeah,
the events.
Yep. Well, one of the really cool aspects of this is I've, you know, always wanted to put cannabis and music together and gatherings in general.
Reasonable,
you know?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason it fits.
Yeah, I mean, and then you go into comedy and even, you know, just like intellectual talks or goofy talks, whatever. But, you know, putting together entertainment, events, venues, stuff like that with cannabis is such a blessing. I feel so thankful to be here in Colorado. I moved to California to try to get that idea rolling a little bit, but it was still so different out there. It wasn't as regulated and totally controlled like it is here.
Yeah, you've been pioneering hemp activism for a number of years. Hemp business.
Yeah,
let's
exactly.
call it hemp business.
Hemp business.
Because it's different. It is different.
Right,
sure.
Right. You know, you go from growing weed 101 to, you know, looking at it as a music and you know, events platform and how to connect the two. And you really look at people that are a big part of the cannabis culture, the community at large. They're starting to become very valid entrepreneurs, you know, in these legal markets. And how do they get to the market without a bank helping them and without the, you know, FCC allowing them to advertise on radio, television, you know, even YouTube, stuff like that.
Yeah, so hard.
It is. It's very hard. So kind of what the event idea is to give an outlet for these companies to reach the target audience that is not going to just be the High Times magazine back covers and you know, very, very basic places where people have had to put all this. Now, you look at Colorado right now and look what's happened. The Westward, you know, probably most of their advertising is cannabis related. I would say definitely the cannabis saved the Denver Post. I've heard that, you know, that the marijuana, you know, world. So,
oh yeah, that Leaf sells it, bro.
Yeah, exactly. And cannabis is an incredible resource for me.
Yeah,
I read them all the time.
Absolutely.
They're very valid and amazing. So I started seeing that, you know, I can put these events together, and I started doing, you know, private parties for really good companies like Native Roots, Incredibles, Green Solution. You know, and some people have, you know, their issues with different companies, but these are all people going for it and taking big risks with no bank support. I mean, that's one thing people have to remember is this is such an amazing time, but it's also very restrictive because of that. And that becomes its own restriction. And with these events, what we kind of want to do is help normalize the experience and make people feel like, okay, cannabis is going to be part of this. When I drive down the road and I see a billboard that says, you know, here's a 420 event with these companies and these people are playing music, it's the same as when you look up and you see Budweiser and, you know, playing at this venue and this thing. So that's kind of what I'm working on. I've got a really big 420 event this year that kind of just coalesced in the past 3 months with THC Magazine, the Hemp Connoisseur Magazine, and it's called 420 on the Block. And it's basically going to be a multi-venue event. There's going to be six venues. There's going to be 6,500 attendees. And it's going to be kind of an expo meets a concert meets a party meets a
smoke out.
Well, yeah, we can't have smoking in the buildings, but we can have them in places like, you know, buses. And then there's like designated areas that hopefully will be put together.
Yeah, the party bus scene here is incredible.
It is.
Isn't
it is.
Right?
It is. Yeah, we've got 7 to 12 of those coming for this event.
Yeah, so what's going on is you can't smoke inside a venue because of smoking laws, but many events, they provide a party bus, which is literally a large RV or bus of some type that you can smoke out.
Yeah, I believe it has to be designated a mobile home.
Mobile home.
Yeah, so that it's a residence, per se, on wheels, and then you get invited
on Party Bus Denver. You'll see what we mean.
Yeah, there's a big one called Looper. There's another one called High End Transportation. There's My 420 Tours. There's a lot of good ones.
If you're thinking about having a weed event in Denver, it's a cool thing to do.
It is. And cannabis companies will sponsor them, too. You know, they'll provide the flower and the whole experience. It's a no-charge kind of thing. You can't make money off of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was at the Marley release party.
Oh, cool.
Right. You know, they've got a dispensary over there on Federal.
Yep.
Right. So they were opening up the dispensary.
Stony Hill. Yeah.
At Stony Hill.
Yep.
Had their release party of an album. And
Oh, yeah.
We were there at the party. And, you know, it's inside. It was a nice hall and it's overlooking the city. It was a great spot.
The field house. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yep. Great spot. And we walk outside to smoke out like normal because that's what, like, you always do, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's walk to the alley and smoke out.
Yeah, do it something.
Right? Yeah, right, because you can't smoke inside the bar or the venue generally.
They haven't figured that out.
So we walk outside and we fire it up, and this guy says, oh, yeah, you got to go over there to the bus, and we didn't understand what he meant.
Yeah.
We're like, we're smoking it the fuck out, man. What are you? You own this place or something? And he's like, yeah, this is actually my venue. And by this time, my wife's trying to hand him the joint.
Of course. You know? Right.
But he's so nice about it, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, you can't smoke the weed here.
Yeah.
You have to go to the party bus.
Exactly.
Right.
And I know that guy, and they're good. They've got the dispensary, the venue, and then the parking lot. They've got the trifecta. For
right.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a great spot, man.
It is.
But and the party bus was awesome too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had bombs and weed and right.
Yeah, we have 7 of those confirmed for 420. So it's gonna be amazing.
Where's this?
So it's at all the co clubs. It's on Broadway, City Hall, Vinyl, Bar Standard, Milk Bar, the Church, and the Living Room.
Oh, sweet, man.
There's 6 venues. And they're also you're basically gonna get one band and you'll get into all of them.
And what's it called?
420 on the Block.
420 on the Block.
Yep. And we have a 3-year vision with it. This year it lands on a Thursday. Next year it lands on a Friday. And the following year is a Saturday. So we're going to ramp it up as the city approves and as the culture kind of gets its, you know, starts getting its teeth, you know, ready a little bit.
Sweet, man.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very exciting. It's cannabis related, but it's also going to tie into Earth Day, which is on 422. So there's some connectivity with hemp that's still evolving. I don't want to say too much about it, but it's definitely going to be something where, you know, where we're going to try to balance the party aspect and show, hey, this is also a very good for the world kind of experience too. So we're going to have solar companies. We're going to have a lot of CBD and hemp companies involved too. So it's going to be cool. Right. But we're going to have big headliners. I can't announce them yet, but yeah, it's
big,
gonna be
big
good.
People. It's yeah. big, man. It's
good
big.
Music. Good music. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to release this right around then. So we'll throw in.
Okay. Well, I'll say, Rusko is confirmed as he's big dubstep guy. Dumpster Funk is confirmed. And the other, there's others in that world. It's more, I don't want to say it.
And more to come.
Yeah, exactly.
More to come.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. We're going to do 24 musical acts in all the venues.
Oh, man, that's fun, dude.
It's going to be fun. Yeah.
That's fun.
And then also a big one on the iHempX portal, we are sponsoring the NOCO Hemp Expo, which is the biggest hemp expo in the country. And if you're getting into hemp at all, this is definitely—
Is that in Loveland? Is that
It's in Loveland. It's at the Loveland Event Center. It's run by Morris Beagle, and the NOCO Hemp Expo team is just— they're real. They're like—
That's in March, right?
March 31st and April 1st.
All right. Yeah.
And we're throwing a pre-party at the Aggie Theater in Fort Collins with Marco Benevento, iHempX is, along with a bunch of CBD companies. They're going to sponsor it. And then we're kind of really, we're trying to bring that same reality. It's like, hey, this is a party. This isn't just a bunch of hemp, you know, like offshoot type people. This is for normal people, and this is for everyone to go experience, because the Hemp Expo really shows that. You go eat, you know, hemp ice cream, you know, you have your, you know, cherry strains that are straight. They look like marijuana, but they're not. And it's just, you know, all the clothing and all, they do a fashion show.
Yeah. I missed it last year. I'm excited about it.
You should definitely come this year. Yeah, it's awesome. And so the NOCO Hemp Expo, anybody who's listening to that, and this will be after the fact, but go next year and pay attention to that team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I missed it last year and wish I had made it.
Yeah, it's great.
Man, you think you got a weed story for me?
I do have a weed story. I have a very intense relationship with weed. My weed story goes back to Georgia, you know.
Georgia.
I was pretty hardcore, you know, just college guy in Athens, you know, drinking and going to see live music. Widespread Panic was playing every Halloween and New Year's and every, you know, so, and then just like Dave Matthews was popping around. Michael Stipe was still in town. They had just—
Oh man, Athens music in the 90s or early 2000s was incredible.
Incredible.
It can't be that good now,
no,
is it? It's not that good.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Neutron.
I mean, I love Athens eternally, but it definitely, it's gone commercial, which is really strange.
That same time you got like,
Man,
REM through the 90s, Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yeah. Olivia Tremor Control.
Redneck Grease Deluxe.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing the Drive-By Truckers in 1997 at Pepino's or something.
Oh, totally. And I mean, not to mention Widespread Panic, you know, some of the more successful ones.
Panic in the Streets.
Panic in the Street. That really blew them off.
Yeah.
Right, that blew them up, man.
And then just, whole—
Sector 9.
Sector 9 was there.
At that time.
Yep.
Right?
It's awesome stuff, man.
Oh yeah, I was blessed to be there during that period.
I definitely feel like Athens was a music town with a college in it, you know, and that was such a cool place to be. Like,
I hope it's still that way.
It is on some levels, but the dynamics changed. You know, I was there till the bitter end. In my mind, I stayed till 2011.
Oh wow! Yeah,
but I was part of a band. I was touring band Dub Conscious. But you know, this is the weed story I want to tell. I was an alcoholic in Athens. And,
imagine that. This is one of the easiest places to become an alcoholic.
72 bars in 3 streets, I think, or something. and most of them have music, too. But I was,
he was Athens drunk.
Introduced by a good friend who you might know. I'm not going to name him.
No first names.
Yeah, exactly. Hodges. so he ended up giving me some amazing kush, right? And I just was changed. It tasted like the best thing I'd ever had. I went home and just played guitar, you know, I just played music, you know, and I really stopped drinking heavily. And, you know, that was a big shift for me. And that weed story kind of led to me kind of devoting my life to it, you know, and saying, this is my spiritual guide. This is what I believe in. And for better or for worse, there's a lot of ups and downs with that, you know, financially, legally, you know, just with friends, family, all the challenges that came with. But this woman told me back then, she was a yoga instructor. She said, hey, you know, remember, that's a female plant that you're doing, you know, and like, there's a lot of karma in that. And to this day, I still think of that every day. I think that it is. It's a feminine led plant. you know, hemp is going to be equal, you know, but the smokable cannabis that all of us have really learned about and loved every time you're smoking a female.
Yeah, it's, the mother plant. Yeah,
if you're smoking something with seeds in it, it's not that good, you know. So it's something that to really take seriously, that there's a really big feminine energy in this movement, and that's probably my best weed story. But
that's incredible weed story. I'm gonna tell you, like, I'm tearing up here.
Right,
you see me crying. Right, but it's powerful. Right, 100% powerful.
And because of me being a male and being who I am, I've gone through a lot of ups and downs. Like I said, karmically with money and with business and with the troubles that it has caused, you know. So, but I've also seen what it's going to do for the future, and I'm dedicated to it. You know, it's amazing.
Yep, your heart's in the right place. That's for sure, man.
Thanks,
man. It's been an awesome podcast we've had here. I love hemp, and I haven't had anybody hemp on here.
Right,
right. And I'm so glad you got to be the first person.
I'd love to refer you to some other people.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Awesome. We should do some other hemp stuff when the summer comes. We'll do some joint Instagram or.
That'd be great.
Podstagram or whatever.
Whatever it becomes.
Yeah, right.
Snapchatstagram.
Right. Yeah, right. Awesome. Well, hey, let's roll another joint up and get out of here.
Cool. Thanks, Chip.
Awesome, bud.
I really appreciate it, man.
Great time.
Yeah, real dirt.
If you want to find more out about Adrian Zaleski, you can check out his website in his bio on therealdirt.com or follow him on his Instagram page at Adrian Zaleski Music. That's ADRIANZELSKIMUSIQ. If you want to know more about iHempX, check out their website at iHempX.com. As always, stay tuned for new episodes by subscribing to The Real Dirt on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Stitcher. And follow us on our Instagram feed at The Real Dirt Podcast. If you're a fan of The Real Dirt, feel free to write us a review on iTunes and sign up for a newsletter. As usual, we're always looking for cannabis industry entrepreneurs as podcast guests. If you have any recommendations, please send them to us at our Instagram account at therealdirtpodcast.com. On the next episode of The Real Dirt, we'll be talking to Josh Hoput, author of Grower's Bible, 3 Alight, and founder of Success Nutrients. Find out how Josh grows 4 pounds of weed per 1,000-watt light and harvests every 2.5 days that produces 1,100 pounds a month. This guy is blowing it out. Next time on The Real Dirt.